Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke Mathers and William Walter on a Friday afternoon. Will, how you doing?
It's always good to be here, and it's especially good to be here on a Friday.
Yeah, man. And the weekend is
almost
here.
It's this week's Wednesdays with William special edition on a Friday and a Tuesday.
There you go. Yeah.
There's just no rules around here, basically.
There is. We try to. There are no rules. That is correct. We try to stick to some, but we tend to trail off on a tangent or two every now and then. So, Will, glad to have you with me here on the airwaves across Civic Media. We are broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side for Devil Radio 92.7 FM WTTN 1580 AM, as well as the Shaw 101 FM WAUK 540 AM in Waukesha and around the state, Oshkosh Air Support, locally grown radio, Lake Air, WGBW, and news from the center around Wisconsin. If you want to learn more about Civic Media, go to the website, civicmedia.us. I want to thank Kristen Bryan, As Goes Wisconsin, for leading into us. We appreciate their hard work. Kristen doing an excellent show today, and excited to continue the excellent broadcast across Civic Media, Will, because there are a couple things that we didn't get to earlier in the week here on Dueling Tangents in the 2 o'clock hour, and there's some fun and exciting sound as well that I can't wait to share, because where we lead off, Will, we've talked about the dueling referenda this week. You and I discussed it on Tuesday. Todd Alba and I on Monday discussed the Republican proposal when it came out. We got the chance on Tuesday to talk about the Democratic proposal to swap out in lieu of the Republican question regarding implementing Roe v. Wade style law back here in Wisconsin, asking voters in Wisconsin if that's what they wanted on their ballot in April, and that one will not be included. The work requirements for welfare benefits, that is going to be on there. Republicans passed that, and we have a pretty interesting dynamic right now here in the Midwest, Will. States like Minnesota and Michigan are doing some pretty cool things.
I love the juxtaposition of Michigan.
Do you love it?
Minnesota, Illinois, and then you got Wisconsin and Iowa serving essentially as like the Mississippi of the Midwest.
Do you love it? Because it kind of feels like agony. It's a little, and it's, I'm agonizing over here watching Minnesota, Illinois, Michigan do these pretty cool things. They're fighting over which progressive policy they're going to try to implement first, Will. And here in Wisconsin, we've got a state assembly speaker that, while on the floor yesterday, passing these redundant ballot referendum questions, he's making up these scenarios that don't exist. He's creating a boogeyman that does not exist here in the state of Wisconsin for a reason not to act.
It's pretty good though, Luke. It's really on brand, I think, for the Republicans. Like, they are the party of straw man arguments, right? They don't have any actual counterpoint to make. So instead, they're just going to create some fantasy hypothetical world. I mean, Fox is so good at this, right? Go watch Fox News every night. You're going to see Tucker Carlson or Sean Hannity complaining about some weird one-off situation that does not exist in mainstream American culture. And that
those
we need to change our entire society for it.
The all-female M&Ms are a very scary thing, Will, and I will not hear you downplay that issue before the American people. I will not have that here on Dueling Tangents. It's a very
we sit and
issue.
Joke about it, but Halloween is in 10 months, and if my son gets a bag of all female M&Ms, oh no.
Yes, it
they're
is
grooming him.
It is pretty on brand for the Republicans here in Wisconsin to create these boogeymen. And so I want to share Robin Voss's words himself so that we can play those for the people. Evan, if you would be so kind, this was the assembly speaker on the assembly floor yesterday. Let's hear it, Ev.
Wisconsin has been a national leader in so many ways. Preliminary data shows that we have more people on Badger Care today than we did before the pandemic. Why? Because we don't even ask people what their income level is to qualify for free health insurance from the government. So on day one, you qualify. On day two, you win the lottery. You're a multimillionaire. You still get the benefits from the state. How is that right? It's not.
Yeah, that's Assembly Speaker Robin Voss creating this scenario that, you know, you win the lottery the day after you applied for Badger Care, what Medicaid is called here in the state of Wisconsin, and you still get that Medicaid even though you just hit the lottery.
I'm glad we have our priorities straight though, Luke. Just in case some person ends up winning the lottery, I don't want them to be able to take advantage of this when there is tangible things we could do for starving children or Wisconsinites with lack of healthcare access or things that, you know, actually matter. Like, we don't want to touch any of that. Why would we do that?
Yeah. And Robin Voss alluding there at the beginning, the sarcasm was getting laid on pretty thick. The saying that Wisconsin leads the nation in things and then talks about how after the worst pandemic we've had in a century, that it's a huge problem, Will, that more people are now in need of Badger Care than before the pandemic. Weird. I wonder what the pandemic could have done to cause that. But the big problem is not creating tougher standards to ensure that the people on Badger Care truly earn it, Will. That's according to the assembly speaker. Because states like red states, like Idaho and Missouri and Nebraska and Oklahoma and Utah, expanded Medicaid in their states. They had the ability to do so because in those states, in those red states, they have the provisions that allow voters to pass referenda and make it binding law. Here in Wisconsin, we are an outlier. If you look at a map of states that expanded Medicaid, expanding Badger Care here in the state of Wisconsin, we are an island for a state that has not done so. There are very few states. I believe we're almost approaching single-digit states that have yet to expand Badger Care or Medicaid as a part of the Affordable Care Act. We are one of the last remaining holdouts. And Robin Voss is creating this boogeyman scenario that says, oh, well, what happens if somebody hits the lottery? It just doesn't exist, Will. And he's creating this boogeyman. But like you said, it's very, very on brand for who Republicans are. Because it's the same reason why they go and they add ballot measures saying, well, do you believe that if an adult able-bodied individual that is seeking welfare benefits, unemployment insurance, it's a really, really Republican-targeted way to say unemployment insurance, the benefits that you paid into, if they should be required to prove that they are searching for work in order to receive those benefits. Again, that's what Republicans did this week because, well, they're scared of what's going to happen. And they need to gin up their support for voters, their voters, to go to the polls in April.
Which, of course, as we mentioned, is ironic that conservatives in the past have sat around complaining about Democrats are just using marijuana as a means to get people excited to come vote for them. Well, yeah, that's a popular policy. That's what your job is supposed to be as a politician. Yeah, you're supposed to do and say things that make people vote for you.
The comparison isn't even the same, though, because marijuana is not legal here in the state of Wisconsin. So asking voters where they stand on that issue, whether or not they believe it should become legal, that isn't a valid question, I think, for a ballot referenda. The question that Republicans put on the ballot for April, it's already law.
It's already law.
It's redundant.
Yeah, no. And cannabis is popular across the board. It's not a, that's not really a partisan issue outside of elected officials themselves. I think polls have shown that the vast majority of Wisconsinites, regardless of party affiliation, support legalized cannabis. This I can't help but giggle thinking about this, Luke. Are lottery winners going to be the new conservative boogeyman? Like, you know, that old saying about first they came for the liberals, but I didn't say anything because I wasn't a liberal. Like, eventually it's going to get to the end of that. And it's going to be like, and then they came for the lottery winners and there was nobody to defend me because I'd been quiet the entire time. Like, it's just, I don't know what's going on here with Robin Voss, but he's bad faith arguments personified.
Oh, well, it's the whole reason. His number one reason why we need a flat tax to make the state more competitive so that snowbirds, individuals that spend most of their time split between two states, that they make the state of Wisconsin their primary residence so that they have their taxes paid here. And that will really boost the tax base so that we can cover the cost of the flat tax because it's going to blow a huge hole in revenues for the state. But what if we just don't pass a flat tax? Which gets into a really interesting point, Will, that you and I, in preparing for the show, were kicking around. It made sense, although it's a terrible idea. Like, I think this idea is very, very bad. It made sense if that's what Republicans wanted to pass with an ally in the governor's mansion, that they would suggest a flat tax and say, this is what we'll do if we win. But they're suggesting it after they lost the governor's race, and Tony Evers is not going to sign a flat tax. So it really begs the question, why are they pursuing it? But that's going to be a tangent for another day. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm joined by William Walter on this Friday afternoon. If you want to share a tangent with us before the weekend, 844-967-2789. You can call or text that number. But Will, we got a couple of other stories that we're going to get into as well as some of the infighting in the Republican Party. Well, not even the Republican Party, the conservative media,
the fringes
ecosystem
of the Republican Party.
But it becomes pretty mainstream. What they say gets mainstreamed. So we're going to talk about a little fighting, scuffling going on over there in the right-wing media ecosystem, as well as some other updates from around the state of Wisconsin and your calls. 844-967-2789. William Walter joining me on Dueling Tangents. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on this Friday afternoon by William Walter. And Will, we're discussing the pretty insane comments because they're describing a scenario that does not exist here in the state of Wisconsin. You don't have somebody that's filing for Badger Care and then winning the lottery the next day. And the chances of that happening are like one in a million. One in millions.
Why lower than that. Significantly lower than that.
Well,
but
well, it depends, I guess, on what your definition of winning the lottery is. Because if you win $100 on a scratch off, like, is that drastically
lower?
Ooh,
I got
the
a good
odds.
Lottery win. How about I stick an R next to my name, run in a heavily gerrymandered district, and get paid $55,000 a year to work 2 months? That sounds like winning the lottery, that's right?
Sounds like good work if you can get it, but it's an odd number year right now, Will. That only happens in the even number years. Sorry, you'll have to wait till next year.
folks, well, if anybody wants to give me a winning lottery ticket as well, I am open to testing this theory.
There you go. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. And Will, you did some on-the-air fact-checking for me. I mentioned the number was getting drastically close to single-digit states that have not expanded Medicaid since the Affordable Care Act was passed, and you got the receipts. How many states are left to expand Medicaid for their residents?
There are currently 12 states, Luke. They are Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Kansas, Mississippi, North and South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Wisconsin, and Wyoming. Now, if one of those states does sound a little bit out of place compared to the others, you would be correct. It's Alabama, because it starts with an A. And the rest of the states are... I can't even like think of a joke to make that would be plausible as to why Wisconsin's included in this. It's absurd.
No, of those, Wisconsin is by far the most purple, but there's definitely a case that could be made that both North Carolina and Georgia could be kind of a little surprising to be on that list. Georgia, though, not that surprising because it's relatively new purple state, newer purple state.
Yeah.
But folks, we're going to head over to the phone lines now. We got Karina in Milwaukee calling in. Karina, what's on your mind today?
Well, as you mentioned, it's really all kind of absurd. If you look at all the movement and all the action and the reaction to what's going on the Republican Party, because, you know, we have a deficit right now because Trump cut taxes for rich people. And now the Republicans, again, saying, oh, we're not going to pay anything what government already spent. So we're cutting taxes for rich people. We have less money going for what government needs to do. And the government needs to do is what? Sending money to Ukraine, spending for 25 years in Afghanistan, but not offering a daycare. I mean, come on now. You can't have everything. You can't cut the taxes for yourself and completely and continuously complain for a government that they don't do anything and just spend that money we don't know for what when you are voting to spend money for Ukraine. Come on now. It is absurd. It's complete absurd.
Yeah, the Republicans are trying to have their cake and eat it too. They want to be able to cut taxes when they have control of Congress and the presidency, and then they are ready to possibly toss the country off a fiscal cliff by playing politics and a giant game of chicken when it comes to whether or not we are going to raise the debt ceiling and honor the debts of the United States. Because, this, again, this is an excellent point. There's money already spent. Donald Trump added $7+ trillion to the deficit, and Republicans and Democrats in Congress during the 4 years of the Trump administration raised the debt ceiling 3 times without stipulations to cutting Medicaid, Social Security, or Medicare. They just didn't do it. They did it without holding the government hostage. The only time the government shut down was when Republicans among themselves and the Freedom Caucus couldn't agree on how to do a spending bill in 2017. And that's what shut the government down, was Republicans refusing to negotiate with Republicans. Appreciate the phone call, Karina. Let's continue on over the phone lines. We got Fred.
I got to make the joke, Luke. At least Republicans are consistent, right? They don't negotiate with terrorists, which is why they struggle to be able to negotiate amongst each other.
Let's continue on over the phone lines. We got Fred at Cottage Grove. Fred, what's on your mind today?
Hi, guys. Hey, yeah, it was a good point there. If I won $1 million in the lottery or $100 billion, whatever that was, $1 billion, I wouldn't be worried about Medicare, anything. But I would like that 3.5% tax rate, though.
Yeah, or even better, it's a fraction of a percentage if you could qualify for the manufacturer and agriculture tax credit that Republicans passed here in the state of Wisconsin. That would be even way lower than that 3.5%, Fred. We appreciate your phone call. We're going to continue on with the phone lines on the other side. But if you want to share a tangent with us before the weekend, 844-967-2789. Will, it is pretty just horrendous that Republicans like Robin Voss here in the state of Wisconsin are going to continue to create these boogeymen. But if we're not talking about it and not talking about the absurdity that is the Assembly Speaker's comments yesterday, they're just going to get accepted as business as usual.
Falls on deaf ears if you're not willing to cover it.
Yeah, so we're really excited to be able to share this 2 o'clock hour with you folks out there in the listening audience across civic media. Again, the number if you want to share a tangent before the weekend, 844-967-2789. You can follow the show at Dueling Tangents. You can follow me at LJM on air. And Will, what's your Twitter handle? Let's squeeze that one in real quick.
Give me a follow, Will Walter 93, WILWALTER93.
We're going to continue the conversation, share some more tangents. We'll be right back.
I'm driving liberals crazy, that's for sure. They deserve it. You understand?
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Friday afternoon by William Walter. You're listening to the excellent tangents that we provide to you across civic media. If you want to learn a little bit more about something really awesome that civic media is doing here in the month of January, you're going to want to head over to the website, civicmedia.us. You can learn more about the $1 million advertising giveaway that we are doing on January 26th to celebrate the growing network. You'll have the opportunity to sign up to work with our sales team here at Civic Media, craft a message to be able to promote your small business, and receive a portion of the $1 million that we are giving away in free advertising. It's free. There's not free. There's few rules and restrictions. We want to make sure that we're supporting Wisconsin businesses, but go check out the website, civicmedia.us, when you sign up next Thursday, January 26th at 9 a.m. That's when the portal opens. Be sure to mention that Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian sent you, and that way they'll know that you heard about this amazing promotion here on our show. It's
Luke, it's so free. Robin Voss is already tweeting about it.
I doubt that. Robin Voss's Twitter is kind of it's a very interesting thing to observe, I guess, because I don't know, Will, for some of the older users of Twitter, if they're necessarily always aware that their likes are public. Like, I think
Ted Cruz.
Yeah, that is a very infamous example of, yes, I think the individual not knowing. But I think he retweeted that crazy tweet. I don't think that was just a like.
Oh, is it even worse? Oh, wow.
If I recall correctly, I believe that was a retweet. That was not just a simple like. But it is always fascinating to see some of the likes that are on Robin Voss's Twitter account. He also tends to block users, and he was sued by One Wisconsin Now. And I believe he's supposed to unblock. And for a lot of times, he still puts restrictions on who can and cannot comment. So there's some legal gray area there about his.
The loophole is if it's your official account versus your personal account. And of course, these people are egomaniacs, so their personal account still refers to them by their professional title. It's hard to distinguish which one they consider the professional and which one is the personal.
But I think the professional account still limits, like, only people that Robin Voss's professional account follows can comment. And so that's like a newer feature since that original legal battle. And so, yeah, I think there's still some more there that could be taken care of. But Robin Voss's likes show you a very strong echo chamber. But before we get more into the conservative echo chamber, let's head back over to the phone lines. We got Wisco Paul calling in. Wisco, what's on your mind today?
Hey, good afternoon, Tangents. I just wanted to mention the Democrats had hired new IRS agents and also replacements for the ones that were retiring. The new ones were going after the very wealthy, the tax cheats that do not want to pay taxes. And the first thing the Republicans did when they took over Congress, or one of the first things, was to nix that. And I don't. It was in the millions and millions of dollars that the very wealthy are not paying taxes. So, you know, they left all that money on the table, but you got to cut things. So, you know, at one time in this country, I do believe the tax rate for very wealthy was 260%. And So, and it's been going down, and now some don't pay hardly anything. So but that is also our donors. So thank you very much, DLP. Thanks for listening to me today, Devils. Bye.
Thanks for your call, Wisco. Yeah, the tax laws, I'm not going to say that I'm an expert in tax law, but the fact that the targeting of defunding the IRS was the one of the first actions that the GOP did in the House. Now, I may have to look into it a little bit further because I don't think they can zero out the budgets for that without passing it through the Senate and having it signed by Biden, too. So I think a lot of that was just a messaging bill. I don't know for certain, but
the irony, of course, Luke, is that the reason that the IRS has been auditing primarily lower income or middle class individuals is they don't have the resources to go after the ultra rich. If you're a billionaire that has a team of like 50 lawyers, the amount of time, money and resources the IRS has to put into chasing you down makes it a net negative for the department itself.
The ability for the government to have the resources they need to be able to catch the tax cheats that are doing it in the most complex ways prevents them when they are being gutted. Since the George W. Bush administration really focused on reducing the ability of the IRS to do its job. And so for a long time, the Republicans have just tried to cut taxes, and then the strategy became make it more difficult for the United States to just simply collect the taxes that it's owed. And so, yes, the IRS tends to audit, I believe, even last year, 2022, it was more likely if you were an earner under $100,000 to be audited than somebody making more than $1 million. And so the priorities there have been all out of whack, and the fact that in the Inflation Reduction Act that was passed at the end of last year added an aspect to increase the ability for the IRS to go and collect not additional taxes, just collect the taxes that were owed. Will, you and I, we're filing our taxes. We're paying our taxes every April 15th or whatever the day tends to get kicked around now. I think it's the 18th this year. And there are a lot of people that spend a lot of money because it's worth it to them to hire the best lawyers to avoid paying all the taxes. Donald Trump, when he was found out that he had spent or that he had paid $0 in income taxes, he said, because I'm a good businessman. Like, that's the mindset of the wealthy. They know that they can get away with it, so they hire the people that help them get away with it. And so the IRS having these additional workers and funds to be able to make sure that everybody's paying the taxes they're supposed to, that's what's needed here.
Do you see the parallels to corporate lobbying, Luke? Let's say hypothetically you're a rich person and you spend $1 million on an absolute army of the best lawyers on the planet, and it saves you, you know, $5 million. That's a pretty good investment. If you're the Ulines or the Hendricks and you give Ron Johnson's campaign $50 million and he gets you a tax cut of $150 million, that's a pretty good investment, 3-to-1 return on your investment. So, you know, so much of America and I guess the world, but America in particular, because we're the best example of it, a lot of our problems really come down to the ultra wealthy using loopholes and exploiting the system to their gain and their benefit, and allows them all of this wealth to just trickle upward year after year after year until you reach the point like today where you have greater income inequality than in the late 1700s in France, which is the famous example of, you know, the poor revolting against the aristocracy.
Let them eat cake. You can see it not even at the federal level. You can see it also here on the state level. The fact that we have a budget surplus of nearing $7 billion is because during his first term, Governor Tony Evers prioritized getting more agents at the Department of Revenue to ensure that the taxes that were owed to Wisconsin were paid to Wisconsin. And so it's not like Republicans or Evers passed any tax increases. This surplus didn't just happen. It's because the management of the state government was, in my opinion, in better hands thanks to Governor Tony Evers, and we have these tax dollars that were owed to the state that we can now invest and we could do things like Minnesota is doing, giving tax credits to families to be able to pay for childcare, to do amazing things that can show, hey, government can deliver. Except Republicans don't want it to deliver. So they're going to hamstring it and obstruct government as best they can. And there's no other better example, in my opinion, than obstructionist Republicans. Maybe Mitch McConnell. He might be a better example. But here in Wisconsin, Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu just sitting back in their chairs and putting their feet up in the first week of March last year. They are obstructionists. They do not want to deliver. They only want to be able to cut taxes and hold on to power. And
if you give a mouse a cookie, Luke, you let people see one time that the government can improve their quality of life, they're going to keep expecting the government to improve their quality of life. And that's socialism.
Yeah, socialism. That again, we'll get back to boogeyman that Republicans create. Love when the roads get plowed on a timely basis when there's snow here in Wisconsin, but then you shake your fist and wave it at the clouds and say socialism whenever it's brought up. Let's head back over to the phone lines. We got Dick and Madison calling in. Dick, what's on your mind today?
Well, they also, these people we're talking about, like the U-lines and all the rest of it, they seem to use the infrastructure that taxes go towards to conduct their businesses too, but don't want to put anything into them at all. And you kind of stole my thunder, actually, with the Robin Voss, $56,000 a year to work, 2.5 months. I think somebody should scrutinize that money he got for his popcorn business. You know, if you're off for 8-9 months a year, you probably could have found something to do to offset the losses at the old popcorn stand.
No, he needed that $300,000 through PPP loans to be able to cover his...
$297,000 forgiven. But that's different, Luke.
That's not socialism. That's just, that's good business practice. It's when a Republican does it, it's a good business practice. When Donald Trump doesn't pay any tax dollars for a year that he was the president of the United States, but he did pay foreign government taxes for income that he was making in those countries while president, but let's not look into that too much. That's a gray area there. All of a sudden, you got to bring up the emoluments clause and stuff. But yeah, it's pretty good work if you could find it. Dick, we appreciate your phone call. You could be like Dick, 844-967-2789. But it gets to an interesting point here of how we get to where we are. And a lot of what we're doing here at Dueling Tangents is we try to be able to call out the absurdity and relate the headlines and talk about it. But the right wing for a really long time has kind of been propped up. There's been a little bit of a propping up of the right wing media ecosystem. And Will, I know we both saw this one online, and I think we're just going to we're going to revel in it for a little bit, because this is a story about a right wing podcaster who was offered $50 million, Will, to do his podcast through the Daily Wire. Daily Wire was going to pay him $50 million over the next 4 years, and there's a little infighting that's going on. So, Crowder. Steven Crowder, right?
Steven Crowder, yeah.
Yeah. If you're familiar with those memes where he's sitting before a table and there's a sign on it that says, "Change my mind," when he's sitting there with a coffee cup, that's Steven Crowder. Familiar with right-wing organizations. He's a right-wing podcaster, very conservative.
He got his start going to college campuses and debating these crazy liberal college kids, which in reality is just catching someone completely off guard, sticking a camera in their face and just screaming questions at them while they're just kind of like, "Oh my God, who are you? Please leave me alone." Videotaping it and posting it online as some kind of own.
Yeah. And so Steven Crowder is upset that he was offered $50 million. I still don't really get to the... Again, it's very difficult to understand the logical thought process sometimes of these individuals, Will.
You won't believe what he called that $50 million, Luke.
What did he call it?
Indentured. He compared it to indentured servitude, his $12.5 million contract, which is, than Anderson Cooper makes this year.
$12.5 million a year over 4 years, $50 million total, making more than $1 million a month to make a podcast in the right wing ecosystem. And
Fridays off.
Yeah, 4 day work week. Again, nice work if you can get it. Really, really nice work if you can get it. We're going to get a little bit more into this dispute and share some sound, because really there's no heroes in this story. all of the people arguing amongst themselves are the worst people. So
you're all just terrible.
They're just
people.
Terrible, but we're going to revel in it and then try to show a little bit behind the curtain of how the right-wing ecosystem, media ecosystem, has been propped up over the last several years. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents, joined by William Walter on this Friday afternoon. We're going to continue the conversation. Share a tangent with us if you'd like. 844-967-2789.
Stop it. I made a special cake for you to ruin. It's over there.
Yeah, it's Friday. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Friday afternoon by William Walter. You're listening across Civic Media. You can follow the show on Twitter at Dueling Tangents. You can follow the network on Twitter at Civic Media US. You can also follow it at that same handle on Instagram and Civic Media on Facebook. And if you want to share a tangent with us before we head to the weekend, 844-967-2789. But Will, we're discussing this Steven Crowder story because it is very, in my opinion, comical. I think it's important to discuss and share with the listening audience because it does show us the fact that these shows, these radio shows, these podcasts, this content that has been generated by the right-wing media ecosystem has been propped up. It is not naturally, like, when you talk to conservatives, they want to talk about how the free market is so important. It is the free market that drives listeners to these shows, and these shows are popular because they have the listeners, and then they have the ad.
Silent majority is there listening day in and day out.
It's there. And we get some interesting insight from a gentleman over at the Daily Wire. And he essentially, in clapping back at Steven Crowder for essentially ripping up a $50 million contract, he shares that Steven Crowder's show isn't necessarily as profitable as Steven Crowder thinks it may have been. Evan, if you could share it with the people, let's hear that clip.
Don't enjoy the same luxuries that we do
this
of being
Steven
independent.
Crowder.
Steven, the whole time I've known him, has worked for someone else. He was paid by PJTV when I met him, which was owned by a billionaire at the time. Then he was paid by CRTV for a number of years, which was owned by a billionaire at the time. Then he was paid by The Blaze, which was subsidized by a billionaire. And he didn't necessarily have to be profitable. And he doesn't know for a fact that he was profitable because, as he has said very publicly, all those companies, none of them really shared all the information about what was happening with them. So Steven feels very certain that his show was always profitable, but he doesn't know that his show was profitable.
And what was that whole saying about, what about your feelings conservatives like to throw around? I'm sorry, the FCC's listening. We can't share that whole one. But
I was ready to go for it, but good call.
I was going to say, I had to make sure I pumped the brakes on that one before anything accidentally slipped out. But it's fascinating that all of those billionaires described right-wing billionaires, conservative billionaires, propping up these shows, this content that, again, we got no clue, Will, if it's profitable or not, because it's just been artificially supported by right-wing, not the free market. This isn't listeners driving the content demand.
It's not a grassroots podcast funded entirely by, you know, small dollar
it's
donations,
not listener
like
supported
say, I don't know, a
radio.
Bernie Sanders presidential
right.
run.
It's not listener supported. It's not. It was propped up by right-wing mega donors that were like, yes, we want this content, so we will pay you to do this content. And
just for some relative context too, Luke, the clip you shared, that wasn't just, you know, some gentleman at the Daily Wire. That was Jeremy Boring, who's the co-CEO, co-founder, and as he says on his own Twitter, lowercase god king of the Daily Wire. He is the CEO currently of the organization. This
he wanted
is the
to give
head honcho.
He wanted to give Steven Crowder $50 million over 4 years. Like, to be able to make that decision and say yes and then have that thrown back at you, I would be pretty upset. But again, I'm not going to feel bad for one of the worst people out there, because the Daily Wire is, again, it's not just generating
it's a propaganda machine.
It is one of those exact platforms that is generating the content to generate the content, not because it's a demand, but because there are billionaires that want to see that stuff out there. And they want to drive it into the mainstream. And then things on Steven Crowder and Ben Shapiro's shows become picked up by other conservatives. And it gets moved and moved into the middle. And it is just terrible for the way that our conversations are. And for anybody that tells you, oh, well, there's more right-wing outlets out there when it comes to things like podcasts and social media and talk radio, because that's just where the demand is. That demand is artificial. It is artificial.
Exactly. The billionaires recognize that they are the extreme, extreme minority. And the way that they're able to control the narrative is by muddying the waters, by pumping out this type of information so that it's hitting regular people from all different angles. You're hearing it from all these popular, famous, well-known podcasters and media affiliates, that it makes you think that these ideas are significantly more common than they really are. But in reality, and we see this a lot with political organizing too, that if there's one single, you know, Uline Hendrix type person behind the scenes funding all of these different groups pushing the same narrative, it really tricks you into believing that that narrative is significantly more popular than it really is.
Yeah. And let's squeeze in one more tangent here before the weekend, because this one is an interesting one, and we'll probably pull on the thread a little bit more next week. But Will, love to hear your just kind of top line thoughts on the Supreme Court just saying that, we can't figure out who broke federal law and leaked the Dobbs decision before the Dobbs decision was announced. So we're just going to... we don't know. We're just going to not
hope
be
everybody
able to
forgets about it. Yeah, and move on.
We're not going to be able to figure out who that leaker was. Does that to you show that it was probably Justice Alito? Because the justices weren't interviewed in this probe by the Supreme Court.
I mean, I'm fairly confident, yeah, that it was Justice Alito. He has a history of leaks in the past, or not necessarily that it was Alito,
it
but
Jimmy
that
Thomas
it was someone
too.
In his orbit.
I don't know if they interviewed the spouses of Supreme Court justices either, but Ginny Thomas absolutely could have leaked it, I guess. So, still the
and
jury's...
It's the perfect story, though, Luke, because you're seeing a lot of people who, you know, a lot of inherent conservatives are coming out and saying, oh, they didn't announce it. That means for sure that it was one of the liberals. And then, of course, liberals are coming out and saying, oh, they didn't announce it. That means it was definitely one of the conservatives. And all the at the same time, you know, the court itself, the John Roberts, who just wants to keep the legitimacy of the court as its most important aspect, is just sitting there giggling like, oh, these morons.
I think John Roberts is probably upset about this one, though, because it's just going to, again, get tied to his legacy, and he's not going to like that. So the jury's out whether or not who is responsible for the leak of the Dobbs decision last summer. But I have a pretty good feeling it was probably one of the conservative members. But
hey, again, Fox came out immediately and said, we will not sleep until we find out this answer. And then the next week, they stopped searching for the answer.
My guess? They found that answer and they didn't want to share it because it would make somebody look bad that they lie.
Yep.
Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. I really appreciate William Walter joining me for this Friday edition of The Tangents. If you miss any portion of the show, go check out the podcast, civicmedia.us. Click on the Dueling Tangents tab. Will, have a great weekend. Evan, you too. We'll talk to everybody on Monday at 2:00. See you then.
You as well, fellas. Take it easy, party people.